five, you guys. Okay, good evening. We will call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2004.
Commissioner Ressam?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
And Vice Chair Spiro?
Here. So if everyone would please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, then that brings us to the community comments and suggestions portion. This is a time where we invite members of the public to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. They should be limited to matters that were within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Is there anyone who would like to speak? No? Do you have any speaker slips? No. Okay, then I'll close that community comment suggestion period. We move on to written communications. I am aware of this one supplemental information regarding agenda item 8B. So that brings us to the consent agenda. The first item we have is approval of minutes for the November 18th meeting. Does anyone have any comments?
I move that we accept the minutes of the meeting of November 18th as presented.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Ressam?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Spiro?
Yes. ...of an ordinance adding Chapter 16.86 to Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code relating to performance standards for deemed approved alcoholic beverage commercial sales. It looks to me that it has been recommended that we continue this item to a date certain of January 6, 2015.
Yes. Thank you. Staff would like to amend the recommendation and request that the Commission continue this item to a date uncertain. This is a companion ordinance to a proposed amendment to the noise concerning noise. It's approved for a second reading at City Council, and since these were intended to be companion ordinances, we're requesting that this be continued to a date uncertain to allow staff time to revise both ordinances concurrently.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for staff on this issue? No?
So moved.
Okay, I'll second. So roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
And Commissioner Ruffin?
Yes.
Specific Plan Amendment 14-001, Conditional Use Permit Case Number 14-009, and Vesting Tentative Tract Map 14-001, Subdivision of two commercial parcels into 41 residential lots, one common area lot, and two commercial lots. Location, southwest corner of East Grand Avenue and South Cortland Street. Applicants MFI Limited and NKT Commercial. Representative RRM Design Group.
Commissioner Spiro, at this time I need to recuse myself from the proceeding.
We'll wait for Commissioner Ressam to okay, looks like he's left the room. So staff report, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sparrow, members of the commission. First off, apologies for my voice. I'm having a bout with laryngitis, but I will get through this. So this is item 8B, continued consideration of general plan amendment, specific plan amendment, vesting tentative track map, and conditional use permit, as you mentioned. At that time, there were a number of items that the commission brought up for concern. This included aligning the driveways of the residential portion of the project with the commercial driveway across the street at CBS, ensuring that there's adequate width on South Cortland Street to include on-street parking, giving the applicant an opportunity to investigate including sidewalks on South Cortland Street, including a review of development lighting and ensuring pedestrian safety throughout the development. As well as including a play structure in the neighborhood green area of the residential project. So again, a reminder of where the project site is. It's located at the corner of East Grand Avenue and Cortland Street. It's zoned gateway mixed use and includes a specific plan overlay. The project site as a whole is subarea 3 of the Berry Garden specific plan area. Surrounding land uses include commercial developments, the People's Self-Help Housing Project at the south, as well as the Berry Gardens neighborhood further south. On East Grand Avenue for the commercial portion of the project. The top image is the originally proposed entrance that the applicants originally proposed, with the right-in ingress-only driveway and right-out egress-only driveway on the west side of the project. They also, based on council consideration at the pre-application level, as well as staff support, the applicant included an alternative that had ingress and egress limited to the western based on Planning Commission feedback, the applicant came back with a revised alternative. This is site alternative 2. It includes a full right-in and right-out driveway, ingress and egress in the center of the development between the two buildings. The travel lanes would be about 12 feet each, so 12 feet for ingress, 12 feet for egress. And this alternative 2 option Alternative 3 would maintain that, again, that two-way ingress-egress center driveway. However, it was requested that by the Planning Commission that the applicant include potentially eliminating that furthest west egress due to potential vehicle conflicts of the of people making a right-in and a right-out at the same time. So the applicant did show that. Staff had some concerns regarding this layout in that people trying to get out of this turn around would be difficult if the parking lot was full. Overall, staff still supports the alternative plaza plan, for consistency with the East Grand Avenue Enhancement Plan, that advocated eliminating as many driveways onto East Grand Avenue as possible and reducing that pedestrian vehicle conflict. Next is the aligning of the access points between the residential portion of see the driveway was slightly off-center from the other driveway. They were able to readjust the site configuration and align those two driveways. While it will, you know, require some additional kind of shuffling of parcel lines on the rest of the interior of the residential development, the applicant is extremely confident that they can get that done. It would still allow for drivers entering the residential component to enter facing into the neighborhood green, which was a big concern for the that the applicant will be widening the street about 9.5 to 11.5 feet as it travels down South Cortland. So the existing edge of pavement would go away, and it'd be wider by about 9 feet, 9 to 11 feet, to include the two travel lanes, the bike lane on the west side of South Cortland, as well as the on-street parking. One thing that's missing from this image is crosswalks or bulb outs or anything like that. The applicants were reluctant to encourage pedestrians to cross there. However, they did. A safer environment for pedestrians. It was brought up at the last meeting. Also, there was a question regarding the twist on the zero lot line concept. So again, traditionally, in zero lot line developments, you have a residence that would sit directly on the parcel line itself. It acts as basically the barrier between the two properties. The twist being that while the property line runs through the middle of this, this allows specific design features for the different homes, and it's, again, staff thinks it's an interesting twist on it. It's unique. I've never seen it before. They provided some examples of how this looks in other developments. These pictures are from a development in San Luis Obispo that does the same thing. And I'll allow them to explain that further. I didn't put a title on this slide. I apologize. This is the applicant came back with the lighting plan that really they included street lights on the previous plan, but so down in the parking area, littered throughout the site, both the residential and commercial, as well as the bollard and path lights around the neighborhood green through the connection piece between the commercial and the residential, and then wall lights on the neighborhood green play area as well as the commercial buildings. It does not include wall lights or anything on the buildings themselves because those typically the residential buildings themselves, because those typically are not meant to light up the entire neighborhood. Take a look at including a play structure. Given the mid-century design of the residential units, they've come up with kind of a unique play structure that would give children in the neighborhood something, you know, to climb on, play on, while not being kind of, you know, your more traditional play structure. So they have included that as an option if the Planning Commission would like to see that included. Again, reviewing the environmental review that's been done up to this point, staff did review the project in accordance with CEQA. The notice of public hearing for the project was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site, was published in the Tribune and posted at City Hall and on the city's website on November 7th for the November 18th meeting. At that time, the Planning Commission continued the public hearing to a date certain of December 2nd. That's tonight. Tonight's agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the city's website on November 26th. And staff has not received additional comments up to this point. So that concludes staff's presentation. Again, I will be happy to answer any questions I can.
John, do you have any questions for me?
Just one quick question. On the analysis issues on your staff report, down there where it says approval of vesting map, I was a little, I don't quite understand what, where it says the map protects the developer against future growth restrictions. Where on this place would you ever need to have growth restrictions?
If it wasn't a vesting map and the project was approved, and there, you know, it's typically for a larger development where it comes in multiple phases, with, let's say, hundreds of homes rather than just the 41 that the applicant's proposing. But in this case, it
the vesting a factor for a map will just guarantee that the rules in place at the time the map was approved would be appropriate or would be applicable to the what it's for.
Okay. Thank you.
I just had one question. Under attainable housing, policy A14, at the bottom it says the proposed project meets several of these qualities. Can you tell me which of these qualities above you're referring to?
Absolutely. Definitely the project would meet the first two bullets. It's in a mixed-use district. It's an infill development project. Every staff anticipates, based on the design of the project, based on the concept plans. I can't say for certain that it wouldn't meet the universal design elements, although they do have ADA accessibility throughout the site. So that's one piece of it. And then obviously the single-room occupancy units and the high percentage of rental units, we know that these are going to be for-sale units. So it would not meet those two bullets, but staff's pretty confident it would meet the other four.
Thank you.
Okay, I think my question was similar to John. Growth restrictions, is that the concern, or?
Again, it affords a developer when they're contributing, you know, a substantial investment on a project doing design work, construction drawings, that sort of thing. It affords them a little bit more security.
Okay. Thank you. And so it is still staff's recommendation to go with alternative number one, kind of the first one, if we're looking at as far as the design of the parking and the driveways.
Correct. That's still staff's recommendations.
Okay. Reviewed it again since these changes have been made?
They have not reviewed it. They did review this alternative driveway. I don't recall them. They understood both sides of it. They understood staff's support for eliminating the driveways. They also understood the developer's point of trying to increase access to the site. Okay. So they didn't specifically make a full recommendation on that point. They did discuss it.
Okay. And I'll just add that this discussion line of the edge of the plazas on both sides of the ingress, driveway ingress, and what type of design features that would set apart the plaza from the street driveway, and the safety issues regarding that, and that was the concern, and the applicant has included some ideas, you know, low fencing or planters and so forth that could help separate that. So in your mind, if you're looking at it, separation wouldn't be exactly like that at all, but that was the concern that was trying to, that the ARC was tried to flesh out during during its review.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to invite the applicant up if you have any comments.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Debbie Rudd with RRM Design Group. I'm here with Scott Martin, our project architect, Darren Cabral, another architect and project manager at our company, and also our civil engineer. Here, I gave a really comprehensive presentation focusing on the entire project tonight. I'm just going to focus on those items that you asked us to talk about or that there was discussion I thought I might bring some clarity to. So the list of items that we're going to discuss mimics what Matt went over with a few additions that we heard discussion on, and we thought we might be able to clarify a little bit more tonight. Starting with the of pros on this one. So this you have your center access both ways, in and out, and then your western access just exiting the site. The pros, we think this really does improve the circulation. This would be our first choice out of everything that's been presented from day one till today. The stronger, it does really give us stronger emergency access as well, opposed to if we blocked it off. Stronger delivery and trash access. I want to make sure that we can get delivery trucks around those corners and out easily. Move that in out over to the west side, then we'd have a conflict with the bus and have to relocate the bus stop. The other option you asked us to look at was when we closed it off. And again, we listed the pro would be that there would be only one access on Grand, like you had mentioned. When we started looking at the cons and when I started talking to our civil engineer, the concern came up with emergency access and difficulty with the both the deliveries and the trash, and in this corner that there actually aren't any parking spaces that need to turn around. Something that we added that's not in your packet, but it was discussed a little bit by one of the community members at least, and then also some of the commissioners, and it was the interest that if cars are parking on the commercial part and their headlights are going into the residential part, that we need to provide some kind of barrier there. So what we're suggesting is a double-sided fencing. So instead of having fencing just butt up against each other and then have completely solid. The red line shows where we were proposing that to be to address that issue. The alignments, the one on the left shows where we were. This one shows how it's aligned now. And we were able to align it so when you drive in, you can still see that park, that community green, which was one of our concerns about the alignment. We were able to switch the sidewalk, and it works now. So we're excited about this. We heard that was an important aspect you'd like all up to Grand. And right now, that sidewalk doesn't continue all the way up. So this shows a sidewalk connection all the way. It also shows a wider street, a street widening. The orange represents how much that street is being widened, and that widening offers that. We had the discussion about the concern of, is there enough room for parking on a street like that, and the way it's configured today, no, but we are going to widen that into the property. Then there'll be enough room for the on trying to, I think that really creates a safer access way for pedestrians too. We also are proposing a new light at that intersection, so it's not as dark in that area, and again, trying to increase the safety factor there. I think Matt covered that pretty well, and you have this in your packet about the where we have the lights in the plan. I don't know if we need to go over this anymore. Matt did a good job of going over this. Basically, by doing this, instead of 2 4-foot side yards, we're going to get 1 4-foot side yard. There's also going to be gates on either end, and that was something that I don't think we really expressed that much at the last meeting. Matt went over our proposal to add some kind of play structure in the community green. So project benefits. Finally, this is the final step in the Berry Garden specific plan. It is bringing some needed housing that we talked a lot about last time, needed housing for the Central Coast. Your typical market rate single family home. Includes the neighborhood green, great asset for the neighborhood. And this solution creates less traffic than the other. I really see this project as kind of a compromise between what was proposed years ago with the all commercial, and the community didn't like the traffic impacts. The traffic, we looked up today to really do a comparison, 60% more traffic if we did an all-commercial project than if we do a mixed-use project like we're doing today. So it's kind of a commercial site. Strong walkability, quality architecture and design, the sidewalk connections, the bike lane connection, all great benefits for this area. Creating the safer street, we heard from the community last time that concern of making Cortland a safer place. Adding the plazas along, I think, will be a great asset for this whole end of town and as a gateway to this end of town. And pushing the buildings right up to the street edge, so we are not creating another strip mall on that area of town, but really vertical mixed-use project on this end of town, and I think it has the potential of really spurring investment, and we've seen the same thing happen in San Luis Obispo with that project that we've mentioned a few times. That project went in, nobody thought they could do mixed-use that far away from the downtown core, and now there's projects right across the street. It's spurred investment, and there's project under review right now with more great quality projects and mixed-use projects in that area of town. We also have our material and color boards. That was one of the requests. So we have that. Do you have any questions?
So I'm going back to all the entrance options that we have. Okay. So my question is the entrance, the center entrance that has the ingress and egress, you're saying that's 12 feet wide? Each lane is 12 feet wide. Okay. So safety-wise, is it safer to have an ingress-egress there? Is it safer to just have an ingress there versus having it be a plaza?
Engineer the
Hi, I'm Joshua Roberts. I'm the project civil engineer. Thank you again, members of the commission. To your question regarding safety, from an access perspective, yes, 24 feet is considered a full width access for emergency vehicles. And aside from the emergency, providing for emergency vehicles, it also helps eliminate significant confusion for vehicular traffic. One
The street light that's being proposed on Cortland, is that a city light that's going to go in, or is that part of the development? So are we looking at a city light, or are we looking at one of your development lights?
Our vision, frankly, was to work with staff to develop that concept. Actually, along Cortland, there's an existing version of each of what you've described. There's a private light at the intersection directly across the street at CVS that's located within their property, maintained by them. As you go to offer those options.
So both of them are an option right now. Okay. The bollard lights that you had in one of your images, the bollard that had the lights on them, do you plan on putting those in as well in that entrance from the People's Self-Help Housing Development? You know, there's that space that was said that we were not going to have it run through as a path. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I think the intent was to have a separation between pedestrian level lighting and vehicular lighting. Vehicular lighting provides for both pedestrian and specific path, and to not have any kind of encroachment onto private property.
So right there, to separate the people's right there, are you going to have the lit bollards right there, or are they just going to be bollards?
There would not be lit bollards. That's not what's proposed. We're proposing street style lighting to provide for the vehicles that are in there and for the pedestrians.
How tall are the double-sided fences? The ones that are going to block the light?
Those are approximately 5 to 6.
Okay, John?
When you referred to widening Cortland, you're not intending to widen it any wider than the self-help housing is, are you? You're just going to match that. Okay, but that's what I thought was always part of the project, but when you said widen, I thought, well, maybe you're going to try to widen it more, and I didn't think that was a good idea personally. But
the discussion regarding the widening, I think, was to provide some clarification both to commission and to members of the existing width of Cortland or South Cortland in front of Berry Gardens, in front of People's Self-Help Housing, would be continued all the way up to and through Grand Avenue.
Thank you. I'll ask some questions after public.
Okay. I'd be curious to see the materials board too, since you did bring it, if you don't mind, just to briefly see the.
They're real materials.
Oh, good.
Intended paint color for each color scheme. So
Luckily, there's a little bit of extra room up here. There's briefing samples, the metal samples, even the proposed stucco texture. So I know it's a lot, but it's all here for you.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing
those.
Because I know when do we have any other questions for the applicant? Anything else you'd like to? Okay, so at this time, I'd like to invite members of the public to come up and speak. Do we have any speaker slips turned in? If we have, if you'd like to come up and speak, you may come up and speak. But usually, I go to speaker slips first just to keep order. But we don't have any, so you're welcome. Come on up then if you'd like to. I know. I think it just depends how many speakers we're going to have.
My name is Aaron Hinkle. I live at 196 South Alpine here in AG. I have a few concerns. The commercial building, the ingress egress on Portland is so close to the signal. You have a potential for queuing cars back up into the shopping center. Due to it's going to be right where the left turn channelization is to go onto Grand Avenue. And you're going to potentially have more cars using that left turn channelization and wanting to get out of there. So you're going to end up having a slight problem potentially right there. The other thing I do see is with these commercial development on the lower part, we don't know what's going in there. Potentially you're going to have ask for a truck turning template to make sure they can get in without crossing double yellow lines, because if they cross a double yellow line, you are inherently designing something that will violate the CVC, and you want to make sure that they can get in and around inside the shopping center without blocking everybody coming and going out of it as well, because if you get one semi in there that needs the whole thing to get in and out, then you're going to block everything up, and I really think you really need to look at that. The other thing with the way it's kind of designed, most of the traffic's going to end up having to go out on Grand Avenue. Left turn channelization, that would need to look at to be expanded to be able to accommodate more cars that are probably going to want to make a U-turn to go west on Grand Avenue. These are big potential things that once we set these buildings in place, you're stuck. If I would have been here when they put the bank across the street, the bank would have had to modify some of their design to fix that side of Portland and Grand, because it's not operating the way it should as well. As far as when you come down into the housing track, you've got narrow lanes. You're going to have a more affordable they're going to be for people that have children. Eventually those children become teenagers. I know I've got two of them. I have an 1,800 square foot house, 3-car garage. I can fit 2 cars in my garage. I have 5 vehicles for 4 of us. So I actually have room in my front yard because I'm on a flag lot to be able to park in my driveway. I don't believe these have the room. I don't think they have a 20-foot offset or anything in their, from their driveway to the back of the sidewalk, if there's a sidewalk or back curb, be able to park 2 cars in front of their drive in front of their garage. Most people don't have room to park 2 cars in their garages on a 2-car garage, because that's most people. If you're lucky to get a 1-car into a 2-car garage. So if you figure 25% of these homes have teenagers that each have a car, say two kids to a house, you've just used up all of your parking plus real quick. I think we really need to look at where these people are all going to have to park when they have parties, when they're going to have events, family coming over. There's not a lot of parking, and from what I understand, they're not going to be allowed to park on the street because of the narrow width. Not seeing a cross section, I can't really tell you much. I kind of question. I'd like to see a cross section. Complying with complete streets and as much as possible, because everybody wants bikes and everything to go. If you have a bike path going one way, you should have another path going the other way. And with the curb there, you need 5 feet minimum to comply with California MUTCD. So I encourage you to really take a second look at some of these things from the transportation side and see really what's going to happen. Inside there, if you've got a narrow street and you've got two-way traffic, how are they going to get through? Just some really key things as a civil. And do something, but I think we need to look at it and make sure it's going to fit everything so we don't end up with more traffic problems in the city. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to come up and speak?
My name's Leanne Akins, and I live at 608 Cornwall Avenue here in Arroyo Grande. I think my concerns are much more broad and sweeping with this project. I'm actually against it, flat out. I kind of don't trust at the end of my street. And I'm not real happy about it. I think it's going to cause added congestion in my neighborhood. I think it lends to the strip mall idea that we apparently say we're trying to avoid, but it's happening in my neighborhood. I was here last time, and I shared with you that I recently moved here from the Bay Area. I moved here because I wanted to get away from the congestion, and I wanted to get away from the traffic congestion, and I wanted to get away from this let's leave a really big footprint. I moved here to the Central Coast because from the outside looking in, it looked like there were attempts to preserve what these small towns offer people. And so my concern is that we are building just to build. My concern is that we are not taking into consideration the reality that the Central Coast as a whole is facing, barring our current rainstorm today, that every time we build, not just us, it's the aggregate building that's going on from the tip of our coast in the north to the tip of our coast in the south. Aggregate building is happening at a fast and furious pace from Paso Robles all the way down to Santa Barbara. And I just don't think that we have to follow that trend. I don't. And I don't think it's in our best interest to follow that trend. I did some research. Napomo alone, and I know that this is not a golf course, but Napomo alone has three golf courses. The average golf course uses 300,000 gallons of water a day. What are we doing? And I guess in my opinion, I don't foresee the homes that are being built to be single-family dwellings. I see that people that are not residents of the Central Coast are going to use those as vacation spots. And I don't see those individuals as being true contributing members of our community that are going to be here through thick and thin. And the last point I will make is I drove around AG. There are 30 vacant business buildings, 30 vacant buildings that businesses are not in, and we're looking at putting in more. I guarantee you the Mattress Express, there's 4 mattress stores within 10 miles of each other. What are we doing? I don't get it. I think we really need to take a look at how we are planning around our general plan and really what our general plan plan's overall goal is. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this issue? No? Okay. Seeing no one, we will close the public comment period, and I will bring it back to the commission. So, John, I think you indicated you might have some future questions.
One of the questions I called Matt about this morning was that delivery truck and having make sure the turning radiuses are correct in there. I know that the small businesses probably just have box trucks, but that restaurant will probably have some kind of a short semi type thing. One of the things we discussed before was the pedestrian crosswalk on South Cortland. I think there ought to be a crosswalk there. I'm not advocating by any means one of these things like we've got in the village. That's just way too expensive and it serves no purpose there. There might be people are going to cross there, so we better have a crosswalk. Saying that they're going to Starbucks is not a very good example, because across and up and up and across is exactly the same distance. But the people that are going to CVS and the other stores in that area need to have some place that that they can cross. And I know crosswalks are give you a false sense of security, but I just think that whole area there has no crosswalk from clear down in Berry Gardens up to Grand Avenue. And I think that's too long a distance not to have some kind of means to get across. I wanted to make sure that when we're talking about parking on this side of the street, that there's no parking from the driveway up to Grand, and that's just logical, of course. One of the things I always gripe about, being from the electrical industry, is LED lighting. I know that your plan mentions all kinds of efficiency lighting, hypersodium and all that jazz. I'm going to make sure that we get LED lighting on the bollards and the ones on the building. The little ones there are a little harder to find, so I wouldn't restrict that. But I am going to put in here that all the other lighting be LED, and we're making a policy of that everywhere. Everything we're doing, so, but I just want it to be in here in words. I probably would have gone with the one just the entrance there, but now I'm thinking that both ways should go there with an out. I'm just one vote, so anyway, that's what I would vote on. I think most of the stuff was covered last week, and I know you got an earful of me, but the reason I'm concentrating on the commercial is because I concentrated on the housing last time. The truck delivery and making sure there's no parking there. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
So, John, I'm curious. You mentioned you were satisfied that there is enough turning radius for the delivery trucks by your conversations with Matt earlier today. Is that what you were indicating?
Actually, what I asked him was to have them present us the actual grant diagrams of how to get the trucks in and out of there. The only one bad place I see is this huge bulb out right there. That truck would have an awful hard time getting around there. And I don't know where there's a big bulb out there that would restrict them getting down and out there. That's the reason I wanted to get a turning map.
Lon, do you have comments or questions? Okay. So I appreciate the changes you made. I think you really listened, which we appreciate. I do appreciate that you have, you know, lined the driveways. I like the alternative too. I think I'm in agreement with John on that. I like the in and out. And it does seem safety-wise that it is better to have that exit rather than the cars getting kind of stranded in that. Although initially I thought maybe we could get rid of that driveway, I think I do see the concern, and then cars are trying to back up and there's no room. And also for emergency access, that seems to be the preferred route in my mind. I know that staff likes alternative one, so I would be okay presenting both to the council with the recommendation from us that we like alternative two if there's agreement on that. I think the additional lighting is a good thing on the street. I agree with John. It would be nice to have a crosswalk there, I think, as well, and the LED lighting. So I think that perhaps the turning radiuses should be included when it goes to council. Might be something to address and look at the concerns so they can have that information before them at that point. I like the colors and the materials. I do think it's going to be a nice and attractive project, and I hope those commercial buildings will be full. I know it's a really great location, so I think it does have that in its favor, whereas some of the empty buildings around town might be more hidden or not as prime location. So I think that's where I am.
I have comments.
Okay. Okay. So, Lon, I'll go back to you then and let you make your comments.
I just wanted to say something about the commercial properties and to note I understand that there may be a lot of vacant commercial lots right now. I think that this commercial property is very well designed, and being a business person, having looked at a lot of these commercial lots to put a business in, the tenant improvements are just outrageous. So to have a building come in that's pleasing to look at, that doesn't look like a strip mall, that would require very little tenant improvements, I think is a benefit. My concern with stopping growth for commercial is that we will shop elsewhere, which means our city will not get the tax dollars, which means our streets don't get the repaving, which means our schools don't get the money. So as much as I am opposed to growth in the big sense, I feel like it is necessary, and I think that this project does a very good job of bringing that to our community. So I just wanted to state that. I'm in favor of the plaza option. But we'll take that to City Council, and however they choose to decide on that is fine with me. I think that the plaza option is my preferred option. Other than that, yeah, my only concern is the amount of parking, and if we can have City Council address that as well and just make sure that if Cortland is widened and cars do park along the street there, that it's still safe for the residents. Those were my main concerns. I think everything else you were able to address. So thank you.
Okay, John.
I thought it was real clever how you reconfigured that lot to make that driveway move, but you didn't tell me where the property went that you gained over here. It wasn't on the drawing.
Could you come to the podium, please? So that's okay. You'll be recorded.
You can see
your name, please.
Scott Martin, the architect with RRM Design Group. We moved the sidewalk on the project entry to the south side, and the enhanced. And on the south side, we rearranged a little bit of the parking so you could still get that glimpse into the neighborhood green. Plan 5 now won't have access to Cortland? Correct. There is not access, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I think if someone feels like crafting a motion. The resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande recommending the City Council adopt a mitigated negative declaration and approve General Plan Amendment 14-002, Specific Plan Amendment 14-00, Conditional Use Permit 14-009, and Vesting Tentative Tract Map 14-001, located at the southwest corner of East Grand Avenue and South Cortland Street, applied for by MFI Limited and NKT Commercial. With, I guess we would say, the including LED lighting be used. Is there anything else we wanted to?
Which option?
Oh, well, I think I was going to say alternative two. I think John is on that. I think Lon likes alternative one, though. So we could say with recommendation that they consider both alternative. I'm not sure. I could say.
I'd rather say one of them.
Okay.
And then they can make the choice.
Okay, then I'll say.
Second.
Any discussion?
From staff, Vice Chair Spiro. Yes. So just for clarification purposes, alternative two would be the alternative two from sheet EX1, from the plan packet that we got tonight. And then I just wanted to clarify, too, that for the resolution purposes, the specific plan amendment number is 14-001.
Thank you.
I have a last question since we're recommending alternatives. And let them go around to East Cortland. Is that a possibility?
That could be accomplished through restrictions on the site, such as CCNRs. There's mitigation.
I just think from a user standpoint, if I'm sitting in the side area there enjoying my latte or whatever, I'm not going to want to see UPS car, trucks, and commercial vehicles driving in and out the entire time. So it'd be nice if there's a way for us to have the in and out.
Like CCNR restrictions, I just wouldn't have a strong confidence level that they would always be followed, and you would probably still get some trucks or at least large vehicles through there.
Is that something you guys would be willing to consider to add to the?
Yeah, just a quick note. We ran into this a couple of times on different projects, and they made kind of a ad hoc study. It wasn't any formal thing. But almost all delivery trucks in this area but not saying all of them do, but the majority of the delivery trucks in this area go that way. Even when they're going on farther down
ground. And then they can leave the west side of the entrance.
Yep, right.
And with that right out only, does that give them enough clearance to come out?
I would be happy to amend my motion to include that commercial vehicles be restricted from entering through the Grand Avenue entrance. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
And Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
All right, so thank you very much, and to your projects. So that brings us to item 9.
There for people to look at.
Non-public hearing items.
But I think there's some people may want to see.
Thank you. Which we have none. So that brings us to item 10, notice of administrative decision. 27, location 1587 El Camino Real, applicant Hopper Brothers Christmas Trees, representatives Johnny Hopper, and as any, do we have any questions regarding that from staff?
Nope.
Issues? No? Okay. So that brings us to commission communications. Any of the planning commissioners wish to share any items? Okay. Staff communications?
It does not appear at this time that we will have items ready for the December 16th.
Okay, and that brings us to adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. Second, thank you. This brings to a conclusion the Planning Commission meeting for December 2nd, 2014.